Transmitting Joel South, WWCR 5070. Glad to have you aboard. Got a great message for you tonight. Going to get into the involvement of a very complicated and a very secretive message tonight concerning the birthright. And the title of tonight's message is The Hidden Secret Birthright. Now, why is it a secret, Pastor Buddy? Well, it's simply a secret because most people don't even know that there is a birthright. They don't know the consequences of the birthright. They don't know the structure and the covenant of the birthright. In the 10th century, that's B.C. now, after the reign of King Solomon, Israel and Judah began to squabble, as usual, and they split into two kingdoms. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was made up of the tribes of Judah, the principal tribe, and the miscegenated tribe of Benjamin. And, of course, the Levites dispersed among the tribes to function as the priests of the keepers of the law. The northern kingdom was made up of the tribes of Asher, Dan, Ephraim, Gad, Issachar, Manasseh, Naphtali, Reuben, Simeon, and Zebulun, and of course the Levites were dispersed among those tribes. In the southern kingdom, the tribe of Judah became very dominant. Thus, the southern kingdom became known as the Kingdom of Judah. And from this, we get the word Jew, which is not used or associated with Judah until the 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 6. Now, that's very strange. But today, the word Jew and Judah has become synonymous. And yet there's a greater complicated mystery behind that, and we intend to try to go behind the scenes and give you some background and build a gestalt of who are the Jews and who is the true house of Ephraim or the house of Israel. Today, we can still identify a remnant of the people of the ancient kingdom of Judah. That remnant consists of those who are called Jews today. Although a minority of Jews are religious converts to Judaism, and that therein brings the problem. They are not bloodline associated with the house of Jacob, and therefore they cannot be considered Shemites or a covenant people from the house of Shem. Now, according to the passage in Ezekiel, we're going in there just in a moment, we're going to show you some insights into the house of Israel. What? After they were dispersed in 721 B.C., and they became a lost tribe or tribes, because it was the 10 tribes that were conquered, and the Assyrians scattered the Israelites. They were released to go across the Caucasus, of course. And they became lost. And actually, they became associated with the word Gentile, which that's a misnomer, of course. So, we're going to look for clues, a series of clues, and we're going to go back and lay the foundation, the gestalt, of our message tonight on the firstborn. I would like to give you a message of the firstborn and give you the scriptures relating to the firstborn and prove to you that the firstborn or the birthright people are not Jews. Now that's going to sound very strange to you, because Jew or Judaism has dominated the world's thinking to the point that the people in the world have associated only two groups of people, Jew and Gentile. And that's a misnomer and a misunderstanding and a rift in the veil of truth, if you will, that tries to determine exactly who the people of Yahweh really are, and versus a people that say they are Jews but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. So deception lays in this message tonight from the side of the evil ones who have crept in unaware. Paul said, I know that after my departure that grievous wolves will come in unaware. And well, that's just exactly what has happened. And through the traditions established that that there's two classes of people, Jew and Gentile, and that leaves out the house of Israel. Well, that's why that we are calling them the lost house of the house of Israel. And the makeup of Jacob, he had 12 sons, of course. And in the course of the 12 sons, it is evident in according to the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis, which nobody mentions, by the way, except Pastor Buddy, where I go back and lay a gestalt of truth that will stand the test of time to prove all things and to hold fast in the Torah that which is good. Well, in Genesis 46, we find that there is a collective unit of 66 souls that are departing because of the famine in Israel. It dried up. They couldn't grow any grain, and they didn't have any water, and so their animals and the people were suffering, and Jacob was no exception, and he was forced literally to send his sons, some of them, down to the country of Egypt and buy corn from the substance of his wealth, because he was considered basically to be a rich man, and he had money and gold, silver and gold, which was the standard issue of that day, to purchase. Well, it just so happens to be that Joseph, who was always despised among the brethren. Now, isn't that a type of Christ? He was in the world. The world was made by him. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And they didn't know him. Most people today don't know that your Messiah, the one that came, was not a Jew. There was no blood association to the house of Yehuda, or the ones that we call Jews today. And that is, like I said, a misnomer, because there are people that claim to be Jews and are not. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the truth and light and darkness are opposite or conflicting with each other. And in doing so, the children of darkness or the children of tradition have brought in so much of the confusion to actually hang a dark veil and hide the mystery of actually who had the birthright. Well, of course, if we examine the scriptures, we find that the birthright, according to Genesis chapter 46, you'll see it in there, and each son is named, and each son is identified, and the exploitation of these sons are mentioned, particularly two of the sons in the book of Genesis, chapter 46, where that it states that in verse 10 that Simeon has what is known as a Canaanite son. Now, this is not permitted. This is genetics that is not allowed to be in the house of Israel. However, it seems that Jacob, whether willingly, unwillingly, or where the sons wittily deceived him, which I doubt, I have no idea of why that he permitted the son of Simeon, the Canaanite, to go with him on the journey down to when he finally had to go down, because when they contacted Joseph, and we'll bring him into the picture just in a moment, and Joseph had two sons. One of them was named Manasseh, the oldest, and Ephraim was the chosen son. Now, this is very strange, but getting back to the 12 original sons, we find that for obvious reasons, in the 12th verse of the 46th chapter of Genesis, we find, and it's determined, that Judah had his eldest son. Actually, he wasn't the eldest, he was third in line, because Yahweh, now listen to me well, Yahweh killed, and don't ask me how, but he actually destroyed the first two sons that Judah had when he went down in the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis and married what is known as a Canaanite. Well, it's explicit, detailed, that the house of Israel should avoid, by all means, a Canaanite affection. But in this case, Judah left his brothers and went down and turned into one and asked for the hand of Shua, the beautiful Canaanite woman that he married, and he had two sons, Er and Onan. Yahweh killed both of them. And in doing so, Judah became afraid that his progeny would be destroyed and he wouldn't have any firstborn. You see, this is all about the firstborn. That's what this message is about, to bring you up to speed about the firstborn. Well, in doing so, Judah hid the third son, and his name was Shelah. And by hiding him, he broke the Hebrew tradition, not the Jewish tradition, that everybody wants to say, this is the Jews. And ladies and gentlemen, there wasn't one tribe, but one tribe in the 12 that could be considered what we use the word Yahudim, or in the English terms, Jews, or Judaism. And so it is a misnomer to start with that everything in the Bible was either Jewish or Gentile. That's the first thing that we want to get clear as we go on a search in the Bible. And I want you to, you people that study with Pastor Buddy, know that we bring controversial elements and reveal them in uncovering the truth of the Word as it is stated in the Bible, and you shall be hated for the truth. So marvel not if this goes against tradition, because tradition has an opposite or a seem right way that it seems right, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And that's what's happening to the truth as it's been cast to the ground. And a certain people that claim to be Jews and are not have entered in at the cost of the ignorance and the fear and the superstition of the people and the traditions, and took the birthright and the scepter and have ruled and reigned over man's mind. You see, the birthright don't matter anymore, because tradition has wiped out the effects and the reasoning and the spiritual covenant of the birthright. Well, has it really wiped it out? And the answer to that is no, a resounding no. Because Yahweh's covenants are everlasting, and He don't change, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when Yahweh give this birthright covenant to the 11th son, and I've gone over this before many times, in attempting to bring you up to speed, our regular listeners and our people that study with us here on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy around the world on
CR. Well, we know, according to the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis, that Joseph was the 11th son. Now, Yahweh found fault, starting with the eldest son from Jacob's issue, or his strength, as the Bible said. His first son was named Reuben. Reuben defiled his father's bed by laying with the concubine, and so Jacob was displeased and held back on the birthright. In other words, after the firstborn son defiled his rights to the birthright, then it fell back on Jacob to give the birthright to the first qualifying son of his progeny. And this is what happened. Now, the second son was Simeon. I gave you the reason why that he couldn't have the birthright, because he had a Canaanite son just like Judah did. And this Canaanite son survived along with Judah's son, Yeshua, and they together went down with the children of Israel, and there they congregated. They mixed into the house of Israel. This is where Satan, the serpent, got his blood infused right into the righteous Shemite blood of Jacob. And Jacob was not a Jew. There's not one scripture in the Bible. But these commentaries and all these supposed to be religious experts have identified Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac as Jews. And ladies and gentlemen, they weren't. They were not Jews. And we offer a reward for anybody who can prove it. They weren't. Anybody that studies the Bible knows that they weren't. And yet, the people have been asleep, and tradition has mounted to the point, like I say, that we've got down to two races and classes of people in the world, Jew and Gentile. The Jews are supposed to be God's chosen people, and the Gentile are the heathen, and saved by grace through the New Testament Messiah, that they call Jesus, that come to save the Gentiles. Well, that word Gentile is loosely a misnomer. It has been used interchangeably with everybody else outside Judah or the Jew. And that's wrong. Evidently, somebody, very crafty people, and Satan, he's got a way of taking the truth and hiding it and bringing about a tradition that is accepted for truth. And it's so hard to preach against these things in the day that we live in, simply because we know that so little about truth, that when a preacher of truth, anointed and called and chosen to bring the truth in, it sounds like he's preaching out of some type of a fairy tale book rather than the King James Bible, which is the one I'm using. Now, so Simeon, the tribe of Simeon, was forever barred from being first son or birthright son material. Now, the third son would have been Levite. And Levite had a calling to supply the priesthood, as I have told you, in the division of the two houses, the house of Judah, the southern kingdom, and the northern kingdom, split and even warred against each other. The first time that the word Jew is mentioned in the Bible, it's in 2 Kings 16 and 6, and they were literally the Jews, Judah, was fighting against the house of Israel. And it's a truth. So then there is a division between the two houses, but which house had the covenant birthright? Well, that birthright, as we go on down through the sons, we find that it began to be obvious that Judah couldn't have the birthright. He's the fourth son from Leah. Now, the other sons that enter into the picture were what we call the concubines. One of them was a servant to Rachel, and the other was a servant to Leah, and they were not the wives of the proper bloodline of Judah, although they had sons. They were part of the house of Israel because he had 12 sons, but yet they weren't qualified to have the birthright. It would either be a son from Leah or a son from Rachel that would qualify, not the two concubines. Well, the first four sons that came from Leah disqualified themselves for various reasons that I have just described to you. Then enter the concubines. Now we skip over, and then we get back into Leah. And finally, the 11th son of Jacob's issue, or his strength, and Rachel's issue, she had the first son of her family line, and his name was Joseph. And the second son was Binyamin, and he died in the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis, starting at the 19th verse, we find where Jacob was at Bethel, which is the home place where he lived. This is where he wrestled with angel. This is where he had the sons, Joseph, and this is where he had the son, Binyamin. And this is where that Rachel died, giving birth to Benjamin, as we call him in the English language, Binyamin. So, here we have the 11th son of Jacob's strength, and listen to what Yahweh says in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 9. And Yahweh said, I am a father to Israel. Now, right there is something very interesting. We won't get on that subject tonight, but we will keep in mind that Yahweh said he was a father to Israel. Now, was Jacob the natural father? And was Yahweh the spiritual father? Well, there's some thought that maybe Yahweh himself had a progeny son of his own offspring, just like he did in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 3, where we discover that Christ himself, the one we call Christ in the New Testament, that he was the son of Yahweh. He wasn't the son of Joseph, as was supposed in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke, in the genealogy, and I've taught on that and the discrepancies in that genealogy, and we will mix a little bit of that information in so that we can establish a thought pattern for you to get you to understand the great complexities that there is in this message tonight, and you must be a follower and a seeker of truth. You cannot idly brush this off or brush it out of the way or lightly attend to it. You must give all of your heart, your soul, and your mind and your strength to get this mystery, because it's hidden from the tares. It's hidden from the wise. It's hidden from those that think they know everything and those that have a seem right way. It's hidden from them. Yahweh hid it purposely from them for a purpose. Blessed are your eyes, he said. Now this is for the sheep. For they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. For these people, and it was various kinds of people we're going to demonstrate to you, that there was a particular seed that Yahweh identified as the sons of Satan. And these were the very ones that claimed to be Abraham's children or Jacob's offspring. And Christ did not deny that. Here in the 8th chapter, beginning at the 37th verse of the 8th chapter, and we would go up to the 44th verse to find a discrepant seed, although it was from Abraham's progeny, although it was from Isaac, and although it was from Jacob, the father of Israel, we know that these children were offspring of Satan or had a mixed blood alliance into the house of Israel, and therefore were disqualified themselves from ever getting a blessing from our Messiah when he come. He said, you are of your father, talking to the scribes, and the scribes loved the chief seats, the Pharisees. He's talking to the Pharisees. They loved the chief seats, and the Sadducees. They loved the chief seats, and they were ruling dictatorially. They were ruling in the house of Judah when Christ, the Messiah, came. When he was in flesh and blood, standing there before them, he addressed them as sons of Satan, children and offspring of Satan. And they denied it and tried to cover it up. And this is what we're revealing to you, how that they became sons of darkness through the progeny of Jacob. You see, the Satan got into the bloodline of Jacob. Now, when they went down to Egypt, and this is in the 46th chapter, 66 souls, along with Jacob and his four wives. They went down into the land of Egypt, and they sojourned there for approximately 400 plus years. And when they came out, according to the book that we have here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, it displays a truth, a factor that very few people realize, that Israel came out with a great congregation of bloodline, the sons of Jacob, Israel. But also with them came a mongrel, the Norki race. This is the race that grew to prominence by loving the chief seats, by being devout keepers of the law. At least that's what they thought. That's why Christ condemned them when they were trying to trap him under the law and accuse him of being a sinner. Christ knew that these were bloodline servants. They have a way that seems right. And to the people, they had ruled over the house of Israel so long and so hard that there was actually a split with Israel knowing. You see, the sons of Israel, they knew that there was a bloodline discrepancy in the house of Judah. They knew that there was a bloodline discrepancy in the house of Simeon. Well, we know that the prominent Jews who made themselves prominent by loving the chief seats, according to 1 Chronicles 2:55, these are the Shelites. It specifically mentions them directly as becoming the scribes. 1 Chronicles 2:55. You need to read it in your Bible as we give you a history lesson. And we've already discussed this before in other scriptures, but we're laying a gestalt. We're going to do a series here on WWCR. We're going to carry this series on and show you about the birthright, the importance of it. Although it has been forgotten by many, nobody will accept the house of Joseph as being the house that would produce the Messiah. You see, going with the attributed birthright, which went to Joseph, and Joseph later to his sons, and Joseph felt like it should go to Manasseh because he was the firstborn, and Joseph was staying in line with the tradition of the Hebrews to make the firstborn. Well, let's read here, according to Jeremiah 31:9. I am the father of Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Ephraim is my firstborn. Yahweh chose Ephraim over Manasseh. And a lot of people say, well, Manasseh got a birth, he got a birthright too. He didn't. It all went to Ephraim, which was a son of Joseph, who actually had the blessing. Now, what does the birthright consist of? What is the advantages of having it? Up until now, there's no advantages. Israel is still a lost people, but there are preachers coming out of the house of Ephraim, which I am an Ephraimite. And I was sent with this message to explain the deep-seated mysteries and to uncover the hidden things that have been kept secret since the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis. I have studied in this one doctrine For the last 20 years, I have researched this doctrine extensively to prove all things. So I know what's on the next page concerning this doctrine or this message of the birthright. Now, why would the great Creator who claimed that Ephraim is my firstborn, why would He give him the advantages of the birthright if it didn't have any consequences? Has anybody ever thought about the consequences of the birthright, to whom it is, and to what purpose, and to what extent it's going to bear upon the history here around the world, wherever Yahweh's people congregate? There is a people, a bloodline descendant from Yahweh, because He said, I'm a father of Israel. There is a people that are Semitic from the house of Shem that are in line for this birthright blessing. And yet it's the Jews who have crept in unaware. These are the evil beasts that have crept in unaware and stole the birthright. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, we know according to Genesis 49 and verse 10 that Judah had the birthright. Well, it don't say that he had the birthright. Let's see what it said. Yahweh, when He was speaking through prophetic utterance of His prophet Jacob, this is what He said. Judah, you are a lion's whelp. And the actual correct rendering, according to the paleo scriptures, is you have become a very naughty boy. You have actually caused a sin or a deficient bloodline or a strange blood to come into my sons, and it will wreak havoc in my family. And that's exactly what this has done over the years. Just like Israel and Judah fought for supremacy or the right to have the honor of the birthright. And today it's dormant. There is no advantage to those who have the birthright, it seems. And yet, Yahweh, keeping it hid with the lost sheep of the house of Israel, promised that when this time of punishment in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, verses 25 and 26, where He proclaimed through the Apostle Paul that blindness had happened to Israel, not Judah. Here, Judah, the proper tribe of Judah, and we want to show you the difference between the two bloodlines. Judah had two bloodlines. You may not know that. And that's why that Pastor Buddy is delegating the next three messages to this effect, that Judah had two bloodlines. Now, which one of those bloodlines was in line for the birthright? And the answer to that, neither. Neither of those two bloodlines ever had the promise of the birthright. So then the Jews are not God's birthright people. Now I'm taking on all comers, and if this upsets your doctrine or what you conceive to be or whatever you've been told or the tradition, if this ruins your traditional thoughts and you get mad at Pastor Buddy, you get mad at Yahweh. Yahweh said, Ephraim is my firstborn. Ephraim was the leader of the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. Judah was the leader of the two tribes, the small tribe of Benjamin, which was miscegenated in. You see, at one time, Israel almost destroyed the house of Benjamin for their illicit sexual unions, their homosexuality and perversion that they brought into the house of Israel. You say, well, I thought that was out of Hollywood. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it just happens to be that people that claim to be Jews or out of the house of Binyamin, these are the evil ones. They're imposters. They're not the true blood. They're the very blood that Christ identified in John 8:44 as being of their father, the devil. Now, the devil is a perverter. The devil wants to liberalize sin. The devil wants to entice you to draw you away to become sinners. He wants you to miscegenate your blood. He wants you to go out here and mix and mingle. He's got great men, wise men, that are sitting in rulership. Even in this country, our government is filled with these type of Cainite people who have come in unaware to take over our government and ruination. We're on the verge of ruination simply because we have sat idly by as the blinded sons of Israel. This country was built and carved for the very purpose of establishing a place for the sons of Joseph and the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And for at least 150 years, everything went well. We were that people that would grow into the earth and become a mighty people. We were that people that had a father called Yahweh. And Yahweh was a father to us as Israel, and Ephraim was his firstborn. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh says in His Word that Ephraim is His firstborn. Ephraim became born of spirit through the lineage of Yahweh's blood and Mary, which was a daughter of the house of David. Now, I have already explained to you, taking on all comers here now, going against the grain of tradition here now, Pastor Buddy, and trying to get you to see the truth and the reality that there is a discrepant bloodline, although it is the blood of Judah. It also contains a portion of the blood of Shua, the Canaanite woman, and Yahweh is never going to surrender the birthright or the scepter to a bloodline of Satan. But that's Satan's craftiness. That's why he wanted to get into the house of Israel. That's why he forever tried to taint and to contaminate the literal blood genetics of Yahweh as a father. Now, ladies and gentlemen, going on into this subject to be revealed to you tonight, perhaps for the first time on the birthright, you need to understand that Joseph was the birthright son, the 11th son from the issue of Rachel, and the 11th son of Jacob's strength. And this is the one. Now, 11 in numerology stands for division. Isn't that ironic that Christ stood for division when He came? Well, if He'd have been a Jew, wouldn't He have been more sympathetic toward the Jews? Have you ever read in the Bible how many times that Christ forbade the foolishness of what we call Jews and said that they were of their father the devil? Do you think He knew something that you don't know? And you're running around saying that the Jews are God's chosen people, and you've been convinced of that because you heard it in Sunday school all your life from some silly person that don't know the Scriptures, and hasn't studied, and hadn't prayed, and never fasted, and never been called, but these have filled the bell boxes around the world, America in particular, which leads the evangelistic association of those who compass land and sea to make one convert and make him 2-4 more the child of hell than he was to begin with. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got an enormous responsibility and obligation to search the Scriptures and to prove all things. In 844, when the Messiah identified those who were the leaders. Now listen to me, here's the strange oddity. These were the leaders of the house of Judah. They were the chief scribes, the ones that tended to the Torah and the prophets, and did the tedious work of copying, supposedly, on their life. And yet, Christ said, beware of the scribes. The scribes are the ones that would change a dot or a tittle, that they would add a punctuation in the wrong place to give you the wrong idea. Did you know that according to the Kinsman Redeemer, this is connected to the bloodline, we'll get in on it in part 2, as we add this distinctive truth from the scriptures in the book of Ruth, where it says that the bloodline, the Messiah's bloodline, was kept pure until it was time for this woman, this little virgin young woman, that Yahweh himself. Now remember, Yahweh says here in 31:9, Jeremiah, I am the father to Israel. Well, is Yahweh now the father of that one we call the Son, when he overshadowed Mary? Could Yahweh have overshadowed anyone in the past, in the Bible, to produce his genetics? Is it true that Yahweh could rightfully say in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, I am the root and the offspring of David? Well, David's genealogy is for certain marked in Scripture. And yet everybody thinks he was from the bloodline of Zara. Zara didn't have any right to the bloodline. Zara didn't have any right to the covenant of the firstborn. Zara was not the firstborn. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, well, I've always been told that he was. Well, he's not. He's the firstborn of Judah's issue from the righteous blood of Tamar. Now, that would make Zara and Phares legal sons of Judah, because he had two families, and it's evident. And everybody wants to talk about Zara and Phares, but they don't want to talk about Shua and Sheila and the Canaanite connection. That's what Pastor Buddy's teaching on tonight. And you've got to know this to understand what Christ was alluding to in the 8th chapter of the book of John. And we, as far as I know, are the only ones on live radio that is advocating this doctrine to you, to present it to you as a truth, and begging you with our sincere heart for you to fast and you to pray. Ask Yahweh if I'm a man of Yahweh. You'll only know that when Yahweh will prove His prophets. And not one word will fall to the ground in a negative sense. Prove all things. Search the Scripture, for wherein you think you have eternal life, you don't have none. And here is the cry of the prophet here in the last day from the house of Joseph, the house of Ephraim, a descendant son of the lost sheep of the house of Israel from 721 B.C., where they were scattered among the Gentile, which is Goyim in Hebrew, which is the heathen. It's not to say that Israel was heathen. They just acted like heathens, and they become the drunkards of the book of Hosea, which is the whole book of Hosea is dedicated to showing you the sins of Ephraim as they turn vile and love the surrounding heathen nations and wanted to be like them, and Yahweh turned them over to a reprobated mind to believe a lie and to be scattered and to be forgotten until... Now, here's the covenant clause. Here is where we invoke the time-set pattern. Romans, as I've already alluded to, 11:25 and 26, Israel will be blinded until there shall come out of Zion, that's out of the holy New Jerusalem, a called man and many witnesses that will turn the heart of the children back to the fathers, back to the truth of why that there was ever a division between the two houses to start with, that there will be sons of Ephraim, that they will grow up, and they will, at the appointed time, come forth preaching the legal birthright belonging to the house of Israel. Now, this birthright is given to the sons of Ephraim to be a blessing to the rest of the house of Jacob. And yet the division and the warfare and the animosity and the jealousy and the envy. Have you never read in the book of Romans, chapter 9, I will provoke them to jealousy? by a people who are not my people? And it seems that that prophetic utterance has spurred on the false illusion that the Jews are God's chosen people, when indeed they are not. It is the house of Israel, the house of Ephraim, who will project and preach and prove that it is the northern kingdom that had the birthright and the scepter. Let's go to Genesis 49 and 10, and let's examine what Jacob said in his prophetic utterance to Judah. Judah, the scepter will not depart from you. Now, how did Judah get the scepter? Well, we find a certain scripture in the 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. It's an interesting verse of scripture, but it's very reflective on what Judah did. And if you've ever read the book of Jasher, that you know that Judah was a powerful physical specimen or an individual of great strength and courage. And he was a father of two bloodlines. Now, I'm going to assure you that Jacob was not pleased with Judah's two bloodlines. By this time, he says, "You will cause my sons to suffer." That's the correct interpretation. We'll get into that in part two, and I'll give you the correct paleo interpretation given to me by a foremost scholar here in America. I know both of the paleo scholars here, both of them foremost, and both of them well-versed in the ancient paleo scripture. So there has been some scribal interference or changing to reflect the mood of today or to agree with the tradition that's been prevailing, and that's the word, literally, that is used in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, that Judah will prevail over his brother. That Judah will rule over him, although he doesn't have any authority to rule over the house of Israel. Now, do you understand what I'm talking about? Prevail means he's going to bully his way into the leadership of the clan. Now, to do so, he first had to get rid of the birthright son. And so, the animosity, and all the sons had it, with the exception of Ben-Yamin, who was too young to really know what was going on. And so Jacob kept him home, locked up, for fear of losing the birthright material from his favorite wife, Rachel. Not Leah. But Jacob was intending to give the birthright to Benjamin. And rightfully so, because he was the second issue of Jacob's strength from Rachel, the beloved wife. But it also states, as the law in the Torah, that you shouldn't, because you despise one of your wives, and she has your firstborn child, that you could not legally give it to someone else except through default. Well, that's wherein that I'm teaching the mystery, these cases, these scenarios that I brought to you, all biblically and all scripture. The first four sons of Leah transgressed the birthright conditions. And then the women that Jacob married, the handmaidens, the concubines, they were excluded because they weren't in the marital family to receive this bloodline. So it had to be between, as I said, Leah and her sons, or Rachel and her sons. And it went to Rachel, and the first son of his issue was Joseph, and he got the birthright. And yet Joseph was expelled. He came unto his own knew him not. Christ was expelled, if you will. They wouldn't receive him. And he really knew why. But those that did receive him, there were, now enter the Samaritans or the Galileans. This is part of the mystery that we'll get in part three of the Galilean connection. The Messiah himself was a Galilean, proven by the scripture. He was not a Judite. Therefore, he was hated among the ruling elite, the scribes and the Pharisees of Judah, because he refused to be crowned, or he refused to be a great one among them. They sought to put a crown on his head. He refused it, and they feared him, and they hated him even more for the miracles and the signs he'd done, and he'd done it all being from Galilee. Now, it just so happens that there's a city that we'll talk about that was the last day residence of our Messiah. And it just happened to be a city, not Bethlehem, Judea, where everybody thought he was born. If he'd been the firstborn in Bethlehem, Judea, and he had been a legal heir to the birthright, well, then it would have said so. Although it says so by the lying pen of the scribes, it's not so. Because there's a way that seems right, that a way that is not so, but it seems so. And so if you haven't done your homework and you don't know the mysteries and the elements and the unfoldment, and after 55 years of serious study in the Bible, I come to the point that I teach this, and yet few believe it. Because it's against the grain or the tradition of what they've always been taught, and they reject it because it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, and once a mind is brewed into a certain set of principles, it's hard for the truth to ungroove that grooved mind of deception. And Satan is a master of this. Now, here it says that Judah prevailed over his brethren, but the birthright belonged to Joseph. I don't care how much Judah will prevail. I don't care how many people believe he's the birthright son. I don't care how many people believe that the Jews are God's chosen people. It's not so. And eventually, we'll turn the tide. The truth will prevail. You can bank on that. That the truth will finally emerge by men of faith and courage and knowledge that will bring the hidden birthright mystery to the forefront. And that's what Yahweh has called me to do as one of the many participants out of the house of Israel that in the last days will show forth His praise and will return back to our Father. And the Father says here in the book of Ezekiel, though that Israel has forgotten me, I will take the crown and put back on his head. Oh my. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to close tonight. My time has come and gone all too quickly, and I've got to get out of here. As I give you these announcements, I want you to make a note. Write this down. We will be leaving our time spot on WWCR on the first Sunday in March. That'll be our last service that we will have on WWCR, Clear Channel around the world. Regrettably so, we've been here and been treated so good by the folks at WWCR. We don't have a problem with that. This is for reasons of purchasing more radio time on another station, a shortwave station, and the station will be WWRB, where we're going to move over. And we're going to have 2 hours posted on WWRB, which is also offering the services of transcribing, or what we call on the internet, that they simulcast this message, just like they do on WWCR. You may be listening to me tonight on your computer, and it's being simulcast as it is being shown across the world on the shortwave radio network. Well, we're moving from WWCR. The last service, as I said, will be on March the 1st. Our first message will be on the following night, which will be the 2nd of March. I'll be on WWRB at 9 p.m. on Monday night. Then I'll return on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock on WWRB. And hopefully we can get another hour. I'd like to have 3 hours a week so that I can present a series and you could keep up with the series during that week. I think it would be very, very
good if I could do that. Now, we have thousands of hours of recorded messages, either on CD or VHS, or we have DVDs. And you can obtain these on this message that I'm preaching, How the Snake Got into the House of Israel. It's an interesting study, and it's well worth your time if you would take time just to write Pastor Buddy. And you can do so tonight by writing Pastor Buddy. Now, that'll be Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, again, that will be Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, you can do so by calling, and I'm live here on the eighth day, ladies and gentlemen, of February. And remember, I'll be on WWRB at the first of the month, beginning after the last Sunday, or the first Sunday in March, actually, and I'll be leaving WWCR. I won't be on at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. They will be filling this spot with somebody else in religious programming, as they usually do on WWCR, and they do a great job. We commend them for it, and they've been very kind and generous to me, and their radio time, and the announcers have been outstanding. Particularly the one that I've got on board tonight, my chief engineer down in Nashville, Brother Allen, and I appreciate him and his cause for the gospel truth as they spread it around the world in gospel format. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now Brother Dave on WWRB 3.185 will be administering to the Shepherd's Call radio time on Monday night, 9 a.m., and or 9 p.m. rather, and on Wednesday night at 10 p.m., 2 hours of programming on WWRB with the Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy. I look forward to getting into that format so that I can continue the series. Now, if you'd like to have this series complete, we'll try to do 3 hours of the series to end up our next 3 messages here on WWCR. It'll be our last one. I'll have my first Wednesday night broadcast on March the 4th. That's my birthday. And so we'll launch it the second hour. We'll launch it on my birthday. And I invite you to attend the birthday gospel that I'll have for you on WWRB. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call Dr. Gary, my sponsor tonight, 1-877-WHAT-A-HORSE, 289-7439. He's really late in there with me, all the way on WWCR. And Brother Paul, a great man of faith up in Michigan that will sell you some STEM tech if you'd like to call him. 1-800-253-2748. And for Dr. Gary, that would be Miracle 2 and Vitamir toothpaste if you'd like to have it to help fray the cost here and give us a little extra money to present. The gospel to you, because it does cost, and we appreciate those who tithe to us regularly on my mailing list, and I appreciate you and the listeners that we've got around the radio network tonight on WWCR. My blessings to you. If you have any trouble finding us on WWRB, just write or call, and I'll see that you're able to tune in somehow to the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you on down the line. This is Pastor Buddy saying I love you and many blessings to you.
Two arms, two arms, two arms, and Dixie. Oh, all the people, fires and light, and all hearts, but now unite. Two arms, two arms, two arms, and Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie. Hoorah, hoorah, for Dixie's land we take our stand.